2 weeks ago yesterday was Saturday, the 4th of April, and on that day at 6:30 in the morning, 10 high school students and 6 adults, including myself, met here at the church parking lot. And by 7:30, we were loaded up and driving away toward New Orleans. St. Paul's youth coordinator, Fred Lowry, had a dream in his mind of joining with the Episcopal Diocese of Louisiana and assisting with the repairs and renewal of the city's poorest neighborhoods. Those were destroyed by Hurricane Katrina back in August of 2005. And that dream of Fred's came to fruition just over a week ago. It took us 2 days to complete the 14-hour drive, so we spent our first night in Atlanta. Coincidentally, April 4th was also the 41st anniversary of the shooting death of Martin Luther King Jr. So our first stop in Atlanta was at the memorial and museum honoring Dr. King's life. It was a powerful and motivating experience, and also very sobering to watch and listen to portions of Dr. King's speeches while we ourselves were en route toward assisting the poor for whom he ended up giving his entire life. After the museum, we were welcomed with open arms by St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Atlanta. Besides feeding us that evening and entertaining us with their youth and our youth playing football and running around the track together and just kind of hanging out for a while, they also included us in leadership roles in their Palm Sunday services. 4 or 5 of our youth were readers in the Passion Gospel, and they invited me to come to the table and come celebrate. And so it was with a true sense of being welcomed and hospitality that we left Atlanta on Sunday morning and went the rest of the way of our journey to St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Harvey, Louisiana. Harvey is about 1.5-hour drive over the river and a couple of bridges and to the outskirts of New Orleans, about 1/2 hour from the heart of the city. And since this church was out of the pathway of the storm and did not suffer much damage, what they did in response to the hurricane was they built 3 showers in what would literally be like our courtyard. They built 3 wooden showers and ran PVC pipe and got heaters for the water so that people could come to their church. And we took over the whole facility, which was 4 classrooms that we used for dressing rooms. And, of course, the bathrooms indoors, the showers outdoors. Their kitchen, where we cooked our meals, had breakfast and dinner at the tables right there. And we slept, all of us together, in the sanctuary after we had moved the pews back toward the walls. And there was a large grassy area outside, too, in the courtyard area where the showers were, where the youth could play soccer or ball or do calisthenics after our workday was completed. Our job in the city of New Orleans was to work on a home that had already been gutted and sheetrock had been hung on the walls and the ceiling. We were completing the next steps, which included taping all the seams around the ceiling, around all the corners, and then mudding those, and then sanding those, and then mudding those, and then sanding those, and then mudding those, and sanding those. Those of you who have done this work know that it's very focused and a lot of sanding. A lot of us had our fingertips going numb on us. That work kept us busy for 4 straight days, Monday through Thursday, from 8 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. The house didn't have any plumbing or electricity, but we were able to run a drop cord from a pole outside to bring music into the house So that helped us to keep our energy up and keep our motivation going. And another way that the youth kept themselves entertained was there was one pair of stilts there. And so we finally figured out that since they were all wanting to get on them, that each person could have 2 hours on stilts. And these would be strapped to the shoes and the leg all the way up to the knee, and then just by walking around on the stilts, they could reach the ceiling seams and sand without the use of a ladder or any stools or anything like that, which was a great balancing chore and a lot of fun to watch them do. Many of the people from New Orleans would see our group either there in the neighborhood. We had to walk 4 or 5 blocks to use a bathroom of a small business that had opened his doors to volunteers. And so people would see us walking around, or in the evening when we would go to see some of the sights of New Orleans. And they would wonder what we were doing. And whenever they learned that we were helping to restore homes, people would just profusely thank us and throw their arms around us and sometimes tell their own stories of how they were out of their own homes for 2 years or longer and all the things that they had to go through. Even though it has been 4 years since Hurricane Katrina, the city of New Orleans still has areas that are just ravaged by the storm. And in the neighborhood where we were working, there were several slabs that was all that was remaining of some houses. There were several gutted houses where you could just see right through from the front to the back. There were some abandoned houses. You could still see the markings from where the National Guard had come through to check for bodies, pets or human, and to try to clear them in their search to locate everyone after the storm. The house that we worked on, you could see where the water level was about 10 feet up from the street. The water had risen to over top of the roof of the house and then had gone down to about 10 feet and left a mark right across the middle of the house that we could see. And Barbara, who owned the house, came every afternoon to say hello to us, and she was trying to plant a garden, a little garden in her yard, and hoping that this year, before the end of the year, that she'll be able to actually move back into her house. She had been given money from FEMA to rebuild and had signed that check over to a contractor who never came back. And this had happened to a number of people, I understand hundreds of people, after the hurricane, that there was quite a bit of treachery going on in getting that FEMA money. The adults that we met were surprised that students would give up their spring break, which might have been a chance for them to go to the beach or something, to be indoors and working all week. The Diocese of Louisiana had 10 young adults, college age or a little older, who were actually volunteering more than just a week of their time. They were volunteering months of their times, maybe a year or two, to go down there and be crew leaders. And the diocese gave these 10 young people a place to live and enough food that they could feed themselves. And so we had Kelly and Mike, Mike who had gone to UNC in Chapel Hill, so we had a lot to talk about. And they were with us every day, instructing us and keeping us going. And they also praised our students again and again, with joy and the surprise that there weren't a lot of complaints and people weren't trying to get out of work. And they kept saying they were surprised about how much work we had got done each day. Of course, we wanted to really finish and then see paint on the walls, but when you're mudding and sanding, it takes a little bit longer than that. But they felt also that our team worked really well together and they enjoyed working with us. Before we left North Carolina, we had planned our meals and created a chart of who would cook and serve each of the meals. And so in the evening, we ate supper family style around this big table, and then we also had prayer services with the youth in teams of two had planned the prayer services. So if I were going to stand here and just tell you that I am proud of our students, proud of those who went on this trip, it would be a great understatement for me to say that. In actuality, I felt pleased day in and day out, beyond any measure, pleased again and again with their willingness to work, to stay at the task, with their ability to work with each other and work as a team to accomplish goals, with the ways in which they cared for each other. We were traveling for 8 days, and 4 of those days were most of the day spent in the car. And the way that they cared for each other and played as well as worked together. And I was really so delighted with the way that they planned the worship, keeping our hearts and our minds on the rhythm of Holy Week while we were there and you were here having your Holy Week services. And those services and meditations and prayer also kept our minds on God's mercy in our lives, in the lot that was going on around us. Reflecting on this trip in light of today's lessons, I do have a sense that our community was something like the community described in the Acts lesson this morning. Acts said that the people were filled with grace and that their belief was so sure that they would sell everything they have and give everything to their small community so that all the needs could be met. And it says also in Acts, the whole group were of one heart and soul, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. As I read those lessons, I thought a lot about the 8 days that the 16 of us were together. And we knew what we were doing was serving God by helping someone else, someone we didn't know, to rebuild her home and really to get her life back. And we tried to stay focused on doing the task that was right before us, focused on each day running smoothly. And in having that focus and in having that work of service before us, we really were not distracted by our own needs. And we really did feel and sense the presence of God in what we were offering, both to each other, to Barbara, to the Diocese of Louisiana. There was just a remarkable sense of well-being that sustained this entire trip. And that sense, taken from Acts and taken from our trip to New Orleans, which you're really supposed to say Gnarlands, I think, that is opposite of what was described in today's gospel lesson. Today's gospel lesson, we find the community of disciples huddling in a room, in fear, and hiding from the Jews. Jesus has been crucified. They don't know what's going to happen next. They are fearful. They don't understand what happened, how it is that he has gone from them. And even though he's already appeared to them once, Thomas says, I don't believe it and will not believe it unless I see the wounds myself and touch them myself. So today in our story, Jesus comes to them again finding them and hiding, and he shows Thomas his hands and his side. Reflecting again on my mission experience with the youth of St. Paul's, it seems to me like we were witnessing another kind of woundedness in New Orleans. We heard a presentation about the flooding itself and the aftermath of the flood. We learned about the failure of the Army Corps of Engineers to dig the levees to the depth of their design. And we learned how the wetlands, which comprise much of that Mississippi River Delta there, have been eroded over the years by infraction, building, and things happen over there, and that leaves the wetlands incapable of doing their natural job, which would be to receive those flood waters and let them drain off slowly. So I think that what we witnessed was a city of scars and wounds. We also saw a city that is rising up again with the help of many volunteer groups from churches and civic organizations. We heard many personal stories from people who survived Hurricane Katrina and who also felt that God's hand was on their life, in their life. When Thomas, in our gospel lesson, saw that Jesus was not just alive, but also saw the actual scars that revealed the suffering of Jesus, he came to a powerful sense of his faith, for the first time, really, seeing Jesus as Lord and God in a way that the disciples had never understood before. And for those of us on this mission trip, I believe it was in seeing the scars in Mississippi and Louisiana and the way in which people of faith have been giving of themselves in response that we too could see the power and the presence of God in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. As Christians, we know that there is suffering. It's a part of our story, the suffering of Christ and the story and the sufferings of our lives. But we also know that suffering does not have the final word. Suffering does not have the final word. I want to thank you all for the many ways in which you made it happen for our young people and adults to go to New Orleans. By participating in youth ministry here, by checking off youth as a priority in how we structure our talent and treasure here at St. Paul's, by attending the spaghetti dinner and other fundraisers that the youth have, you've contributed to making this happen for us, and I want to thank you for that. And I hope that the stories of our experience might also help to bring the power and presence of Christ here into our community at St. Paul's and the many stories that the young people will continue to tell. And I hope that each of us individually might find opportunities in our life, in our faith journeys, in which to witness the risen Christ. As an Easter people, that's the vision and the dream that we live for and live with, the risen Christ in our midst. Amen.